following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News and is brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Welcome into the latest Green 19 podcast, covering all things Green Bay Packers and training camp. I am your co-host, Jim Ozarski, along with Tom Silverstein, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, PackersNews.com. We're back after a day off, short reprieve. The Packers hit Reinitschke Field again today, Tom. And quick housekeeping note, if you want to review last week, feel free to check out Olivia Reiner's Facebook live chat archived on the app and the site. You can recap what happened on Thursday. So today, Tom, curious, the Packers went 3 days in a row with pads before the off day. What are you looking for today as they kick up another practice week?
Yeah, well, I don't know if we know for sure if they'll be in pads. I'm assuming they will be. He's talked about not wanting to go more than 3 days and in pads in a row. So they did have the off day. It would seem likely that they would be in pads today. You know, most of what they've been doing is installing offense defense, and they must be getting close to being done with that. And then I think, you know, at some point they're going to start using cards and start, you know, duplicating what defense teams are going to play against them, not necessarily the Vikings right away, but some other teams and how, and maybe the Vikings, but eventually they only have what, this week and next week for getting ready. So, well, actually it's what this, they have this upcoming week and then another week and then the start of
September. Yes. The opener's the 13th. So really the first week of game prep, if you will, comes after the cutdown on September 5th.
Yeah, so maybe they don't start on cards this week. Maybe they continue, you know, in a camp format where they're going best against best, you know, the ones against the ones and each play in their own scheme. The thing that's got me is that there's not a ton of jobs that are open. You know, there's not a lot of intrigue to this camp, and there's probably jobs open on the second team if that exists. You know, we don't know if there's a first or a second.
I was going to say, Tom, we don't even know who the starting quarterback's going to be in Minnesota. So
I don't know. So, but, you know, really, I think what we're watching is really just guys making the roster, you know, other than right tackle. And now with Rick Wagner out, we'll see if he's practicing today.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest question. And you alluded to this a little bit, and I'm glad we kind of recap that we are now 2 weeks to cut down day. They've got another couple off days they're going to have to work in. So you're talking, what, 12 practices? I mean, the assistant coaches on defense, the coordinators spoke on Friday, Tom, and there was a lot of, well, it's early. I mean, they're a third of the way through this training camp. So,
yeah, they're essentially through the first preseason game. Like, this would be right after the first, maybe the second preseason game, you know?
So I guess as we get into today's practice, I don't know, intensity goes up a little bit. What do you think we're going to see? Pads or not? I mean, I'm just kind of curious if we're going to get a little more something. I guess I guess I haven't seen too many guys make a name for themselves, whether it's the back end of the roster or not.
Yeah, I think the length of practice is going to increase. I think we're probably, you know, the thing that we really haven't seen and that will be worth watching is the wide receivers, because nobody has jumped out. You know, Davante Adams been hurt. Don't know if he'll be back today, but who of that group can you say has really jumped out ahead of the others? I can't really say anybody. Can you?
No, and that's why I asked Brian Gutekunst on Thursday afternoon, Tom, like, you know, like to say it's early, but for this receiving core, it's not. I mean, these are all known commodities at this point, and I haven't seen any huge leaps in performance. Marquez Valdes-Scantling had a good practice Thursday, but, I mean, he's a third-year guy and someone who started a lot. I mean, that shouldn't be news.
Yeah.
You know, so you're right. And Reggie Begelton is a professional receiver. He can run a route on air, but again, in these padded sessions, it's not like I've seen, you know, I've put a star next to his number. So you're right. I haven't, you know, even in one-on-ones, Tom,
the DBs dominate that, don't they?
To me, they have. Me, they have. I guess honestly, in these one-on-one scenarios, the most interesting offensive players have been the H-back / tight ends or the fullback in terms of going up and getting the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I probably didn't react as strongly as I should have when they didn't draft a wide receiver, because I really thought, you know, if they're going to run the ball, they can get away with having one great receiver and some average guys. But now I'm changing my opinion, and because I'm seeing it on the field and I'm seeing guys not get open. You got to throw the ball in the NFL. You can't run it every down. It'll be great if they can run it. But at some point you're going to have to win one-on-ones, and man, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to have, it's too late to do anything at the receiver position. Maybe someone will be trading, you know, at the trade deadline, and they can, you know, get a, you know, like his name is escaping me, that guy San Francisco picked up from Denver, Sutton.
Emmanuel Sanders.
Emmanuel Sanders. Maybe something like that.
They could have signed in free agency?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe something like that'll pop up, but I don't know.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think today it will be interesting to see if the receivers can differentiate themselves a little bit. I guess Kyle Shanahan would tell you, you don't need to throw the ball to get to a Super Bowl. I mean, if you run it for 300 yards.
That'll get you there, but it won't get you over the top.
That's,
you
know, true.
I mean, there's always guys like Patrick Mahomes waiting for you, you know, and they're going to score at will in the passing game. And so I am a big fan of the running game. I really am. I think that's a great way to be successful. But in the end, at some point, you got to throw the ball and you got to have more than one wide receiver.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I'll even, you know, we don't know who's going to, or we can't say who's going to start at quarterback in Minnesota, I guess, until the head coach says it.
Yes.
But that said, I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I don't put a ton of stock into the interceptions. It is training camp and you're doing certain things, but he expressed some frustration with routes and some things, you know, above the din of Lambeau Field. I mean, you know, here's a guy who, you know, they started the clock on him. And I don't know. I guess I'm curious to see if he pushes his guys a little bit, whoever they may be that he is working with today.
Yeah. 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 No, I think that's legitimate. And to what degree do they start to highlight some guys and really give them, find out about them, like an Equanimeous St. Brown? Do they start? When do they do that? I think they know what they have in Alan Lazard. I think Valdes-Scantling is kind of the guy who's been highlighted the last couple of days, to find out what he's capable of and where he's at. Now, he started off poorly with those drop balls, and he's still having some lapses of concentration, but he did have a good practice on Thursday. He's got to put a couple of those together. Maybe they will highlight him again to keep building his confidence. I don't know.
Yeah, to flip it over and to circle back to your earlier point about this is a pretty set team. I mean, they didn't make a whole lot of personnel changes. A few of the rookies will participate. you know, you opened this Green 19 Packers podcast training camp saying you want to look at inside linebackers. So let's go there, because those are usually your end of the roster, special teams, fillers. Ty Summers made the team doing this a year ago. I asked Kirk Alvadotti about, you know, how do you get these guys reps? How do you evaluate them? And he basically said, look, it's if you, okay, you're going to get a rep. And if you flash, if you show, you'll get another one. So, and I think that could also go to Tim Williams, Randy Ramsey, out on the outside. Curious, Tom, where are you at with linebackers, inside linebacker, outside, in terms of, because it seems like that's where you're going to get the bet, you know, the bottom five, six guys on this roster.
Yeah. I've been impressed with Tim Williams. I thought he's had some nice rushes and been real kind of shown that he can drop back a little bit and play in a little bit of coverage, which I didn't think he was capable of. He's kind of flashed. I've watched Kamal Martin some. You can see the inexperience, but he's definitely active. Like, I could see him starting. I could see him being the starter on opening day. It would be a little bit of stretch from assignment standpoint, but, you know, the way Oren Burks has been in the past in terms of assignments, I don't know if that would be that big of a deal. And so I want to keep an eye on him. It's possible he, you know, they may just say in the end, you know, Oren Burks is okay, but this guy's got potential to get better. So, you know, one thing I thought about was, as the season goes on, I mean, in the early going, the lineup we see in the early going isn't necessarily the lineup we're going to see 3 weeks later, because they're going to be finding out about guys that they didn't find out in training camp. And then I think we're going to see all kinds of alterations to depth charts and playing time and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a good point, you know, because they can't flush some things out until you get in those live tackling and read and react type of situations, you know, especially next to Christian Kirk. So you sort of assume he'll know what he's supposed to be doing. But clearly next to him and whatever, even if it's Raven Green, Tom, I mean, I he's back, he's healthy. Clearly, Mike Pettine doesn't feel like he lost, you know, his job due to injury when he went on IR early last year. He's kind of back in that hybrid dime safety linebacker role. So, that's interesting too, because I guess from a theoretical standpoint, I mean, is Raven Green the one someone's trying to beat out to play next to Christian Kirk? I'm really curious about that. Like, I wonder if Mike Pettine actually had a second inside linebacker he trusted, if he would move away from that hybrid thing, which could also then play into run defense issues. Yeah. I don't know. Like,
I mean, you can't go with Christian Kirksey and then a guy who can't be a run stuffer, because you're going to just get run over. I mean, Christian Kirksey's job is to cover guys. It's not to come in and blow up the fullback. You know, that's not what he does. And so they don't, you know, for as much as people were down on Blake Martinez, they don't have anybody like him. If they had Blake Martinez and Christian Kirksey, I think they'd be in a lot better shape. And, you know, that's why I'm curious to see Kamal Martin and see whether he's a guy who could maybe show that he can be a run guy. Now, coverage is supposed to be his expertise, right?
Yeah, and I think played a little bit of that hybrid safety type thing in college. I mean, there's a similar track record to Oren Burks in that way, although he wasn't ever a true safety.
Yeah, I just, from watching him, he's aggressive, you know, and I like that part about him. You know, maybe it winds up being Ty Summers, because he's more of a traditional inside linebacker. He's got the size. I don't know if we'll see Curtis Bolton. He was a guy who last year I thought really earned the right to be in the mix. But he's still on PUP, and so I don't know if he's even going to be active this whole camp.
Yeah, even if I mean, as we started here, they're running what, 2 weeks to cuts, or thereabouts, and yeah, it is 2 weeks to cuts, and yeah, if you haven't seen the field yet and done any practice, I don't know how you leapfrog everyone else. Maybe it's possible if Curtis Bolton can hit the field today, or soon.
To your point about Raven Green and them going that way, you know, I think they can get away with that, but you have to change your front four then. You can't, you know, I was talking about this with Leroy Butler on our five questions, which is up and you can watch it. It was a good discussion about back in the 90s, Fritz Schirmer had this defense. He called it the big nickel. And so he went with four defensive linemen across the front line and then had two linebackers and a nickel. So it wasn't, you know, it looked like a nickel, but it was four big guys. You know, Gilbert Brown was in that defense. So they had a run stuffer whose main job, as Leroy pointed out, was to stop the run and sort of mirror screen passes. And then they had Reggie on the outside with Sean Jones and Santana Dotson inside. So, you know, maybe this is where you bring in Rashawn Gary inside, where you have some size and power, or Za'Darius Smith, and or you use Kenny Clark and Kiki Kingsley. And then use the two outside rushers, or add a third defensive lineman, you know, Dean Lowry, and then have Preston Smith outside and Za'Darius Smith like an inside linebacker type. I don't know. You know, they got to find a way to stop the run with two probably not run stuffing inside linebackers.
Yeah, it's interesting because, look, you know, teams go off of, despite what some may think, they're not really reading everything we write and tweet. They go off the film, and the last film of the Packers is you can run the ball.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that is what they're going to see early and often until they prove they can stop it. And it's hard to tell. You know, they're trying to give looks to each other, Tom, but even if they go full pads today again and really – push the envelope. I think Matt LaFleur, you know, when he answered a question about John Lovett, the fullback, talked about live tackling and going to the ground. So that's going to happen at some point here. You would imagine in the next 8 or 9 days, but I don't know how you can, I don't know if run defense is a thing you can work on without seeing it and experiencing it.
I'm willing to bet you three of my masks that, he will not tackle with the starters.
Yeah.
That he'll chicken out on that and decide he's just going to do it with the backup guys. So I don't think we'll see, I'm willing to bet we will not see the true run defense till Dalvin Cook, you know, till they're staring down the barrel of Dalvin Cook on opening day.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, Tom, to how we began this with, you're trying to round out the back end of your roster, you're trying to round out an expanded practice squad, you know, maybe those are the guys you just need to see. You know, does Adrian Amos need to tackle Aaron Jones? I mean, probably not, but does Delonte Scott need to tackle John Lovett? Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, and I do want to, so but before we wrap this one, Tom, and head to this practice, curious if you kind of agree with me here. Do you think in the next week or so, it's important for Brian Gutekunst to find or have his coaches help him find that practice squad? Because I think Sean Menenga made a great point in that, look, we may find out 90 minutes before a game that one of these players tests COVID positive, and they've got to come up and play special teams on 90 minutes notice and maybe got, you know, no reps or two reps. How important now maybe is they in this back stretch here before the last cuts is that back end of the roster and potentially those those 16 practice squad spots.
Yeah, I asked Sean Menenga about that. I said, you know, do you have to prepare those guys? And throughout the course of the season, you've got 16 guys there. Is one of them or two of them or three of them going to start to show you that they deserve to be playing special teams for you, that they deserve to be on the field? And will we see guys shuffling into the lineup? And I wasn't even speaking about guys leaving because of COVID. I'm like, oh, these are guys who didn't develop during camp, but they're developing while on the practice squad, and they're seeing them play really good special teams in practice, and they're thinking, we got to get them on the field. So I do think that practice squad is really important. And I mean, what team is going to go out there and sign five guys from another team? That'd be just stupid, because you need guys who've been in your system and probably can help you. You can pick up one or two from another team, I think, but these are the guys you handpicked. I would stick with them.
Yeah, I think if there was someone, a draft pick released, or, you know, a first or second year player who's got new PS eligibility, that you really, you know, yeah, you're right, Ty. Right. I think they'll have their practice squad, but Goody's going to leave.
An undrafted guy you were trying to sign and couldn't, and someone else signed him, and all of a sudden he becomes free. That would be the type of guy you'd go after.
I think that expanded practice squad, you know, that it's almost like there's two back ends, right? Your back of the 53 and then your back of the PS, you know, where you can have some flexibility. So we are going to wrap this, because we're going to head over to Radnitsky Field, short and sweet today. And, you know, be sure to check out Olivia Reiner's post-practice live stream for all of the wrap-up there. And, of course, go and download the PackersNews.com app, turn on push notifications, and, of course, subscribe. So for Tom, I am Jim. We will talk to you tomorrow morning.